Round one, fight!
The Grim Reaper Gamers are a 25 and over gaming community with members spanning the globe, playing games across all genres, but our roots are in first-person shooters. Bring your thick skin, drink of choice, and grab your controllers. GRG members are on nightly with official community nights every Wednesday. And now, it's time for the ReaperCast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grim Reaper Gamers ReaperCast. We are on episode number, wait for it, folks, 69. I will give you a moment here to get the giggles out. Everybody go beat us a butthead on this shit. Laugh it up. Throw out the nice or whatever. It is the 69th episode of the ReaperCast. So we'll see how many times we can get through that without it with a straight face, huh? All right, let's talk about who's on the show tonight, because we got a hell of a lot to cover. Second chair, my usual co-host. He is in his office. Hey, do the walls just get barer every time I see your office there? I don't know. But anyway, off of an Eagles win last night led by the great Randall Cunningham. Jammer, how are you? What you drinking? What you playing?
So you have wood paneling that you said that you were going to start tearing down and working on, and it's still there. And I'm in my office where I work, where I can't do anything about it, and you're going to complain about me.
Really? That's the one you got there? Not even the Randall Cunningham joke, huh?
No, I'm letting that go for now. I got problems tonight because I want to bitch at you for us starting late, but then I really can't for reasons that'll be disclosed in a few minutes. With one of our guests. So I really don't have a right to bitch that we're starting, even though Johnny an hour ago said that he was ready whenever and then disappeared. And I don't know if he took a giant shit or what he was doing, but he disappeared off the planet. Hi, John. How are you?
Well, a giant shit would have been more enjoyable, but so it wasn't that.
So we've all been married a long time. 69 isn't relevant anymore. I had a lot of shit going on the past week, so I was a great staff member. I really haven't gamed. But I am drinking I bought this as a special edition. It's a Fat Tire, which is normally a Belgian ale, but this is a Belgian white Fat Tire. And it's pretty good. Pretty good. Special release, it says. So I'm enjoying that. And hopefully I'll start gaming soon. It won't be Destiny because fuck that game. I've been trying to, I might start the first Wolfenstein. I bought that on a Steam sale and I've been wanting to check it out. So I just actually installed that today on my PC.
Very nice. All right. Chair number three, the man behind the tomato meter. The reason why we have it all together, the grumpiest of all grumpkins, Lala Calamari. Jack, how the hell are you? What you drinking? What you playing?
Well, I'm surviving the Ebola plague. Or the virus, I guess it is. Getting over this massive illness. It was a lot of fun the last couple of days. I'm drinking Gatorade because my vagina still hurts and I can't have beer at the moment. So yeah, that's that. What am I playing? Well, I'm banging my head against the Destiny raid. I think we spent like all week working on that and pretty much not getting very far. So that's pretty much what I've been doing the entire week as far as gaming.
I have a question for you. So when you're puking and shitting at the same time, is it like feel weird because you always take your phone into the bathroom? So when you're doing both, you really can't be on the phone anymore. So do you like just put like a magazine off to the side so you have something to look at, or?
Yes.
Yes. is it a bowl? Like, are you puking in a bowl, the sink?
No, actually,
I was shit, or.
I was kind of fortunate enough where I had time to separate the two, but yeah, it was fun.
Okay. This is even more confusing now. So wait, so like you shit and then later you had to puke.
We could be talking like 69 jokes, but we'll be talking shit and puke jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is interesting.
No, it's not.
Cause I want to make sure you didn't like shit and then have to turn around and puke into the shit.
I my toilet does flush. I don't have an outhouse like Johnny.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. 69.
There you go.
Well, you guys lost me on that one. I don't know what the fuck was going on there.
Neither do I. I was trying to get away from that. But
all right. Fourth chair. We do have a fourth tonight. So, second time in a row. Second show in a row. This one is way east of us. For once, we are, you know, we go way west for a guest last time. We go way even farther east this time, across the pond in the United Kingdom. It is Unobtainables. How the hell are you? What you drinking? What you playing, buddy?
I'm good, thanks, Johnny. Drinking? Not really much. It is nearly 3 a.m. here. And just to try and keep me awake, I picked up a Coke, which I may open at some point, may not. Playing, I'm pretty much doing the same as Jack and playing Destiny 2, because fuck Jammer, that's why. And yeah, pretty much heading towards the 305 light limit now, so it's pretty much just the raid that's keeping me interested, although I've got 3 characters running, so I haven't quite got all of them to 305 yet, so I'm still doing some of the milestones every now and then. But
You did 3 yeah. characters? Jesus, I mean, you think being a staff member on GOG would be enough punishment, but then you go and fucking do that. I mean, next, why don't you just punch yourself in the balls for the third piece?
No.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, so now we've got the introductions out of the way. I guess I'll talk about what I'm drinking. I'm drinking the peanut butter porter again from Lincoln's Empyrean Brewery. It is very tasty. I love it. Playing a little bit of Ark with the kids. I haven't had a hell of a lot of time in the last week or two, so hopefully that's going to calm down a little bit as we get closer to Extra Life, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. So let's talk about community events, as we always say. Go over to GrimReaperGamers.com/events to see the full calendar, and for any LFG post, your source is forums.GrimReaperGamers.com. The big thing is always Wednesday night, community night. That's been Destiny for quite a while. That might be changing here shortly. We are closing in on Call of Duty World War II's release, which will be in about 10 days from this show, from when this show drops. So that is the 3rd, if I remember right. Friday the 3rd of November. Oh, shit, yeah,
when did they switch? They started going to Friday releases. Like, Tuesday used to be, like, the release day. Like, because Assassin's Creed is out Friday. And I think Wolfenstein 2 is out this Friday. Like, it's become Forza Fridays release. Now.
Well, Forza was, yeah. Have you noticed that it's also the night before Extra Life? And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think they dropped that sucker the night before Extra Life so that it's all over Twitch and, you know.
Games in general have been going to Fridays instead of Tuesday.
Well, I think
I already have it. I have it preloaded already. So that came in like last week. Yeah, last week it came downloaded.
Yeah, I think Xbox is able to. PlayStation still is not able to, from what I read the other day.
PlayStation will probably be next week sometime. Yeah, that's usually the week before.
But it's there.
PS is usually about a week before, or about the week before, like the Monday or Tuesday before, or like 5 to 7 days before it drops, usually for them.
That's so, real early for a pre-install.
Yeah, I mean, Xbox has done already. Xbox has done about 2 weeks ahead lately, at least on big ones, on big releases they have. So, anyway, so check, you know, for further information on what's going on, again, GrimReaperGamers.com/events or the forums at forums.GrimReaperGamers.com.
Yeah, real quick on that, I threw up a post recently, the state of GRG for the fall of 2017, and we're going to be trying to mix in some games other than Destiny. A little downside in activity in that, so we're looking at like some games like Battle Royale, Fortnite. Yeah, Fortnite, Battle Royale. I know a few guys were playing Warframe. Quantum wants me to start pimping that for them. And any of the Call of Duties and whatnot. And so check that out, that thread, and you'll see what we're looking to, what we're planning on doing in the next month or so.
So again, yeah, forums, you'll see a lot of that, and that state of GRG can be found through the front page, GrimReaperGamers.com. So on the news section. All right, Dan, speaking of Jack, do you have a rant for us this week?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I have a rant. I was going to do something different, but I figured I might as well pile on the Destiny bandwagon here. And my rant this week is the goddamn Destiny raid. Basically, as far as I can see, after spending a week into it, banging my head against the wall with it, it can go fuck the hell off. At this point, I've determined it's not about killing bosses or things. It's about performing a specifically timed task that requires everyone to do it with perfect precision. So we're doing the gauntlet last week, and we don't really have a set raid group, so people come in and out, and just training them the process of what to do, even though it's basic task, it's painful. And trying to get through this specific spot or the dogs or whatnot, you need to be able to perform your task at the required time flawlessly. If one person out of six screws up, it's a wipe, start over, and rinse and repeat. And one of the biggest gripes I have is we finally got past the gauntlet. It took us forever and a day. It was unbelievably long for us to get past. We're just a bunch of potatoes trying to get past it. And what we get is a bunch of tokens. We don't even get a reward. We don't even get like a drop from it. Like used to people get drops from you. When you beat a specific boss, you'd get like a pair of boots or rocket launcher or some shit like that. Nope, I get tokens. And the real kicker is I can't even redeem those tokens until I complete the goddamn raid. So I have a stack of tokens I can't even do a goddamn thing with. And I don't even know when we'll be able to do a full run through the raid with the group that we have. And yeah, so anyway, Destiny raid, fuck you. Go to hell. That's all.
This is my kind of rant now, pissing on Destiny.
Well, it's just frustrating. And like I said, we finally got through it. The one part that was giving us a major problem, and you just get tokens, and I can't spend them. I can't use them. I don't get a drop. I don't get any sort of reward. And now the week reset, I got to do it all over again. So
I think that the problem with that, as we've talked about before, having a larger community, for one thing, it goes against with what they're doing. Because if you have the same group of guys that are kind of playing together, then you get a flow together and you can probably get through it rather than what you said, picking up different people here and there. On top of that, you have to have people that have fucking time in their lives and aren't grown-ups with other things in their lives so they can actually get the shit done within a week. So they really fuck you over twice there. They fuck you over of actually having an active community with a bunch of people that want to play together. So then you're dealing with random people jumping in and out and not having the same group go all the whole time. And a time commitment from people that actually have other things to do, minus assholes that are up at 3 a.m. in their time zone.
And the fact that they just got away from like actually killing a boss or whatever, where it's just some intricate puzzle that's timed. It's not fun after a while, so I don't know. I'm going to try to muscle through it and get past it, but it's ticking me off pretty bad.
And Unobtained, has that been pretty much the same on the PlayStation side with the group that we have that play on the PlayStation?
I guess not many of us from GOG have really got together and done a proper raid attempt yet. We're actually trying to get one together for tomorrow, or I say trying to get together. We've got about, I think, 8 of us at this point across a few different times. So me and Scuba Steve are trying to figure out exactly when we should start and how to switch in some others later on. I think that might be what we're going to do. We'll see if anyone else says they want to join in as well between then and now. But so we'll see how kind of GRG do. But I have tried it once or twice myself, and yeah, I have. I've kind of found the same as Jack. Like, I mean, tokens isn't great, and I mean, it's pretty disappointing, but I haven't really got that far to be that disappointed yet. But it's more annoying how in like a bit, he was saying about people have got to do things. They've got to be at the right time. Everyone's got to have their role down. They've got to, this guy's got to jump, that guy's got to shoot, etc. And it's not just that, but it's like, you know, maybe the whole thing is like 30 minutes long and it's like no mistakes for 30 minutes, let's say. Mm-hmm. And if anyone makes a mistake, it's right. Okay, start back again. We've got to start the whole thing again. It's another 30 minutes, like another 30 minute attempt. So it's almost more frustrating getting 25 minutes through and then someone messing up and then having to start the whole thing again than it is like in the early stages when you're all still working out. If you're dying every 3 minutes, like that doesn't seem as bad. It doesn't seem as much mm-hmm. time wasted on each attempt. So yeah, I guess that's kind of frustrating. It didn't seem to be as bad before, but maybe I'm just, you know, rose-tinted glasses and all that.
I think, John, what Lala needs is for you and I to join his raid.
My Xbox has just broken. I see a little bit of smoke coming out right now.
Yeah. you don't want me and John to join you?
It's dead. I'm going to see if I can get the Xbox One X. I'll let you know.
Because I've done some GTA heists with John, and I can guarantee you it's a treat.
Yeah, it's
especially
really
robbing smoking. That bank.
I've got to get
it's
the fire
a treat
right now.
Me, damn it.
Put this thing out. Going PC only. Sorry.
Oh, we just both picked it up for PC.
Damn it.
Yes.
My PC crashed as well. Anyway, moving on.
And yet we still hear you. All right, so I'm going to guess that means you saying moving on means the rant's over then, so thank you
for
that.
Yeah, I mean, I can rant. I have more to rant about, but that'll go
no.
to the news.
Holy shit, I'm surprised. All right, let's get into news then. Gaming news and other types of news as well. So, well, let's keep on the Destiny thread. We're starting with a little bit of Destiny news. We have the seasons to talk about with Destiny. The little sub point here is the token system changing for Iron Banner in season 2.
Well, that won't change. There'll be another Iron Banner and it'll be run the same way as it was before, which really sucked. It was another thing that really, I think the Iron Banner was what really soured me with Destiny. It was one of my favorite activities and they changed it completely. And once again, you're not getting rewarded the way you should. And to top it off, the game mode. I just don't particularly like the game mode. I'm not into the 4v4 and the smaller maps. They seem to have limited to auto rifles only. If you're not using an auto rifle or specific guns, then you're not playing the meta. And it's a shame because a game that's supposed to require that has all this diversity with weapons and skills, it comes down to run and gun, COD style. Capture the flag type of thing. It really was ring around the rosy. Well, anyway, you get these tokens and you weren't able to get the gear you wanted. And I played the hell out of Iron Banner. The first Iron Banner, I played a ton of hours. I think I submitted over 20 some different chests or whatever. I got whatever the 20 rewards. And I didn't even get all the equipment I should have. So they're switching around. Iron Banner in season 2, you'll be able to use your tokens to buy weapons. They're not going to release armor to be sold, but weapons. So you'll be able to buy weapons. Armor will drop if you do milestones or whatever. But so that's one of the changes with season 2 coming up.
I have heard more feedback of people finally admitting that they're not quite happy with the long-term prospects of the game and things that they've done. And honestly, I didn't think that I would see that because people were so dedicated to the first game and everything and playing it over and over and over and doing the same shit. So it's a little surprising, but I mean, there's definitely that buzz on that. And there's definitely the drop off that I didn't expect to happen with fewer people playing the game.
I see it because I think the first 2 weeks I had my Destiny friends list of people playing. It was over six some pages long. Now I'm lucky to get a page and a half of people that are playing on my friends list. I think one of the reasons with GRG was we used to play, we were really in the Iron Banner or something the group liked to do. We all grouped up and played. In this version, we just didn't prefer it for whatever reason. Also, I think they just kind of throw gear at you like crazy. Like you log on, you can get 12, 15 legendary items in a night. No problem. Just doing some basic stuff, not including all the clan rewards you get. So you're just swarmed with gear. So you max out very, very fast. it's easy to get to like a 300 level. It takes no time at all. And then if you start a second character, it's even faster. So it just, while they've given you more opportunities to do different things in the game, the rewards just within the game come at you so fast that you gear up so quickly that you're done. There's no reason for me to go continue to do strikes or to farm dynamic events. I got all the guns and weapons and armor I need, you know, so it's, I think that really hurt it, just the way they threw legendary items at you. I don't know.
So the game sucks. Got it.
Yeah. No, the game's fun. It's just, it's not going to be a game I think that is played as long as Destiny 1 was. I think people play it. They'll get through the raids. They'll slow down. Season 2 will come out with all the stuff they're offering here. And people pick it back up again. Then the next DLC will come out. And it'll just be like that. They'll play it for a few weeks, grind through the content real fast, and move on.
Well, the question then becomes, because the first game, everybody said that major expansion made it the game that everybody thought it was going to be. So could you see the same thing happening where they make some major change? You know, they realize it's stupid that they've done this because they went through that with the first game where people, you know, got frustrated with it and then felt like they had to pay too much for the game that they initially wanted. And it seems like they're doing that same path.
I don't believe so. I think that they're already preset with their DLC and their storyline. So you're going to see more of what you have, and it's going to be more of the same enemies, more same things, and a new raid. So you get like a couple new strikes based with the same enemies you already faced before, and you'll get a new raid and maybe a Crucible map or two. And that's what it's going to be. That's what I think.
Go ahead.
No, he's nice. Done thinking.
Yeah, I'm done.
I think part of that is, you know, maybe the problem here. I mean, there's been a couple of articles that have already highlighted this at times since the release of Destiny 2, that this rigid schedule of, you know, game, events, expansion, more live events, expansion, more live events, etc., you know, this two-year process may be what's causing part of this problem too, because they're just, you know, they're on such a rigid schedule, they've got to have this, that maybe it's caused it to be maybe too much of a paint by numbers type of thing.
Yeah, it could be. Unobtained plays it too. I mean, have you played the first one too, right?
Yeah, I didn't join in right at the beginning. I came in just after the first DLC, but I played it all the way through to the end till just like a couple of weeks before Destiny 2 launch, pretty much.
I mean, is it something pretty that much. You see playing like nonstop all the time, or?
I don't know, because I think, because it, like you said, it's frustrating in some ways that I feel they've almost regressed the model of Destiny 2 to back to when one of the earlier iterations, let's call it, of Destiny 1, pre some of the DLC, where, you know, there were a lot of complaints. They had some, you know, I mean, there's always going to be complaints. People always find things to complain about. But after the later DLC, they brought in a lot more content. They redesigned the quest system. They brought in more rewards, more bounties, more things for you to do that weren't necessarily giving you, you know, that much more stuff in terms of gear necessarily, but there was a lot of activities, a lot of things you could be doing. You know, the story length by that point was huge. All these other side quests offer exotics or crucible or some other random bits and pieces, some things that didn't even really mean much, but they were just things to do. And that's what, you know, players like content. And I appreciate that when they first come out with Destiny 2, obviously they're not going to give you that much content again. They want to, you know, give you an amount and then build on it. But it still feels like they regressed back to some of the earlier designs they had and some of the same mistakes they made and reverted some things. Like they've reverted away from the whole quest system. It's again, go back and talk to this NPC and then go on and do my next thing and then come back. So, you know, shoot these 20 guys for this step of the minor quest line and then go back and talk to Banshee, who tells you that now you need to dismantle some scout rifles, and then you go talk to him, and now you need to go and shoot to however many guys it is with a submachine gun. And it's just constantly flying back and forth. And you know, that's something they kind of addressed and changed, but and now they've regressed. So I don't know. There's some things like that have annoyed me, but at the same time, it makes me think maybe they're going to do the same thing where they're really going to change the Destiny 2 as it goes through the DLC. You know, maybe through the live team, they're going to add in events. They're going to change that. I think in a year or two's time, what we have for Destiny 2 now will be very different to what it will be then, same as they did with Destiny 1. But, you know, at the same time, I think, well, you know, why didn't they learn this last time? Why do we need to have such a transformed game? Is it that they tried to change too much? You know, all these different things, all these tokens that they're just throwing into every different activity. Like, some things that could have worked quite well, but other stuff it's quite frustrating or seems maybe lazy's harsh. But, like, they could have done the old system and that would have worked fine. They didn't need to change it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's, like I say, people always find things to complain about, but some stuff they've changed, I don't know why they've changed it or why they've done it the way they have. And particularly the stuff that's kind of regressed, if you like, from the end of Destiny 1 to the start of Destiny 2. But I keep going back to it. Yeah, I was playing it all night, so
it's hard to really complain about a game that I probably put a couple hundred hours into. So it's like, yeah. So I'm just bitching just to bitch, but
no,
not anyway. So yeah.
Well, that, I mean. That can happen with things. How it is weird how they, you know, they seem to have regressed, as Unobtained said, and you know that was a big complaint. Everybody finally got that second one, that expansion. And they were like, "This is the game we wanted," but
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll keep moving on though. I think the next thing up, I'm just gonna take over for John because I like doing that. Just because screw him.
Can we add this to the Johnny's Lies thread where he said he would host tonight? And then he goes away.
Yeah. Well, I want to see if he picks up. What we should just kind of like keep going and then go back and then see if he goes through the agenda again.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing up on the subject there was some original Xbox games are now available, and they're going to be looking better on the Xbox One X and all this. I do our Twitter account. And I follow other things. And the amount of news that I've seen on the original Xbox games the past couple days has been ridiculous. I mean, I know there's Knights of the Old Republic. There was some other games. I didn't write them down. If somebody had notes, that would be great.
Crimson Skies. Ninja Gaiden or whatever, however you pronounce it. I probably got that wrong. Prince of Persia, Psychonauts. I don't know. Red Faction 2. To name a few.
Why?
So wait, are these all titles that were like 360 and are now backwards compatible?
These
are
original. OG. The OG Xbox. To be honest, I think it's all about the Knights of the Old Republic. And, you know, they've thrown some other games in there. But let's face it, what have you heard through the news, through Twitter? Everybody's talking Knights of the Old Republic. That's the only one that they're really talking. There might be a couple others that talk about some of the other games. But the vast coverage has been about Knights of the Old Republic. And I think that's the impetus for this whole Xbox OG compatibility.
You could play that on any PC.
Yeah.
You don't even need a good PC.
Like Android phones or something like that too, or isn't it?
It's on mobile devices too, but I think I really think, and you know, it's cashing in on Star Wars this fall.
Oh, sure.
You know.
I still have that and I still have my original Xbox, so I'm good.
How many times do you hook it up and play?
Actually, my kid took it upstairs to play Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Did he? Oh, the good one.
Yeah, the good one.
Yeah.
That's the only game that got any sort of play. That's a good game though.
They've been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and I'm like, it always goes back to retro. It's great for a few minutes.
I think as people that have played those games before, we're not going to go revisit them. But if you haven't played Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic, you know it's a game worth checking out. I mean, absolutely, people enjoy it.
It's going to look dated and it's going to play dated.
Well, I'll probably play dated. I think
there were certain games. There were certain retro games that I missed out on, and I've tried, and I go play, and it's a game from, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. And I'm playing through it, and I'm like, well, this was 10 years ago. This game's not, you know, it was cutting edge and awesome 10 years ago. That's not necessarily the case. There's plenty of good games that are cutting edge and current right now that you can get.
But you know,
like one of our favorite games is Grand Theft Auto Vice City. And I love that game to death. It was awesome when I played it. I know I could not go back to that now. There's just no way possible.
But on the other hand, there are some new games that have been out in the last couple years that have a distinctly retro look and feel to them that are extremely popular. Now the big argument there is probably it's a new game experience. It's not just a retro retread of an old game. But you look at one of the most popular games right now on PC and consoles, and it's currently the most popular on the Switch after just releasing Stardew Valley. That thing looks like... That looks like Final Fantasy IV, and is an extremely popular game. Yeah. Extremely popular. I mean, you have a lot of people streaming it. You have a lot of people playing it. It's popular on Steam. It's popular on Switch. It's popular on the indies for consoles. So, you know, it's a retro grab because retro is popular again, whether it's the retro stylized indie games or your NES and SNES classics, the Atari box that they're talking about and coming out, you know, that kind of stuff, or just emulation in general. So there's definitely a market for retro. I don't think the numbers really hold up on the Xbox side as far as we've covered this in past shows, how, you know, they don't average very much time playing once they get these games in backwards compatibility. But I guess we'll see if Knights of the Old Republic breaks any of those trends.
We shall see. Well, don't forget Halo, though. Gotta get Halo, even though they have the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah,
aren't they updating that to 4K now with Xbox One X?
Yeah, how about new content rather than worry about old shit?
Well, I don't know. Halo 5 wasn't so hot. I don't know. I guess you'll probably see Halo 6, but...
Oh, they got to complete the trilogy.
They don't have to do anything.
Well, they will complete the trilogy, let's say that.
Yeah, they announced there was a trilogy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so... well, going to... what could become a real sore subject here in the show tonight. We're going to talk about Rockstar recently said, actually this last week said, they didn't feel that single player expansions were either possible or necessary, even though they were promised at one point. And this is going to bleed into a couple other titles as well here, because this is getting down to it ultimately is getting to the microtransactions argument that we've talked about quite often. So all those, you know, those single player expansions they talked about really took a backseat to GTA Online is what it really did. But they're saying, you know, they didn't feel it was possible or necessary. And I personally think it leans towards necessary. What do you guys think?
I don't have much to complain on that because of how much content we talked about this before. It's like 4 years out now. I've seen people complaining about the shark cards and all that stuff. It's like, you know what? They keep bringing out new content and good content. So they deserve a potential pay on a transaction, like for cash in game. It's different to me if you promise something and then you don't deliver anything, which some games have done. But they've delivered. It just, you know, wasn't single player, but I think most people kind of just play GTA Online anyway, and just what's a single player going to give you another 2 or 3 hours of some other storyline? I mean, on GTA Online gives you hours and hours of content.
Well, and that's where I think that the part where it says possible or necessary, that's where I lean towards necessary, because it wasn't necessary to come out with single player expansions because everybody was playing the hell out of online. You know, they were the GTA crowd played the story and then jumped into online and didn't look back. They, you know, I think once they saw what was coming out with online. Now we're going to be talking about maybe a couple less or more nefarious issues here with other games, but with GTA, I just think it wasn't necessary. I mean, they were pumping all their resources into online. That's what the people wanted. They played the living daylights out of it. People bought the shark cards. What did we hear about 6-8 months ago? $2 billion?
Yeah, I remember we ran some number on an old podcast. Make people go listen to them all to find when we had that number.
I think... they determined that it wasn't necessary as much as it was. It's not as profitable. So obviously the online, the DLC, the shark cards is where it's at. It's a shame because GTA 4 had two incredible DLCs for it. The Lost in the Dam, which is basically like Sons of Anarchy. And that was a great DLC with a ton of content. And there's a lot of time you could spend in that. And then Bout of Gay Tony, which was, some people say, is one of their best stories ever. For Grand Theft Auto, and it's a shame they didn't follow through with that and continue, or at least maybe make a campaign that's online based where you can co-op or something instead of like these little mini smaller things that they release now for online, but make something that's more involved, more story based, and throw it online. But it's a shame because we did get in the past incredible titles from the DLC was. They were as good as separate games, and I guess the money just isn't there. So they're bagging it. There's no reason why they can't do it. But when you can sell $2 billion shark cards, $2 billion worth of shark cards, why would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think we saw. I really think that it would have been nice to see a DLC thrown in. Some of the GTA 5. DLCs they toss at us are a little goofy, a little silly, like those stunt races and all that stuff. I didn't care about. I'd rather go play like a Forza or something than race in GTA.
Then what, John? Was it the stunning?
The cunning stunts?
I tried.
Yeah, the cunning stunts DLC or the expansion. I the racing stuff was fun for a bit, but it got a little old. I liked more of the stuff where you were running, you know, where you had missions within and that didn't always involve the car races, that stuff. I enjoyed more of the mission based online expansions.
I guess my real big beef is the stuff they throw at you requires you to have a ton of cash to participate in. So if you want to run like the CEO stuff, you need to buy an office place, which was like a million or so credits and up. And obviously they designed that and picked those prices based on the fact that they know that you're going to buy shark cards so you can partake in it. And it really hurts like the casual gamers where like we don't play GTA Online as often as someone does 24/7. We sporadically pick it up. So we want to go play the CEO missions. Well, none of us are even close to a million credits, and we suffer from it. I don't mind the shark cards as an option to supplement, but actually grinding out that $1 million is just, it's painful for players like that, like us.
Yeah, the one they really did right there was the motorcycle gang stuff. That one didn't feel as grindy. Now, I know with a lot of stuff like the CEO missions and stuff, we wound up, the group that plays online the most, it was a case of waiting for some of the sales. And usually, the last one would go on sale when the new one comes out, so we were always kind of playing one behind there for a while. So... It wasn't always necessary, but you were waiting to, but there were ones that never really did come down, like the yachts. Those things never did. Those things never did really drop in price at all.
Oh, they serve no purpose other than vanity. So I don't mind that. It's when you tie it into like the office place to do the missions for that. It hurts a group like us where we don't play nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to be grinding out a ton. Now, the other semi-related piece here, the former BioWare dev developer who came out and said that, you know, and this is kind of related to what we were talking about last week with the Star Wars game that got semi-canceled, but it's going to be overhauled and changed around a little bit with the closing of Visceral Games. That EA is pushing more towards open world to push the microtransactions, push them a lot harder. So, you know, we're seeing companies start to move towards the open world stuff to hit the wallet more often nowadays. And what was the, to kind of bounce just a little bit here to a semi-related, where we had a guy or people that have spent, what, $50,000 on Mass Effect transaction, microtransactions?
Yep.
So,
there's,
you know,
people out there.
Yeah, I mean, $15,000 for microtransactions for a game that really wasn't regarded as a multiplayer game, even.
That's why this shit's not going away. Like we talked about before with microtransactions, you know, I play that dice with friends and it comes up certain number of bonus rolls for $99.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are fucking idiots out there that'll spend the $99 on stupid free rolls. We're not going to make that go away. There are enough people that spend significant dollars in microtransactions to make the gaming companies see this as a viable, profitable area.
I don't know. This guy's a former dev. I think this number is a little bit of a bullshit number. I can't imagine anybody in their right frame of mind spending $15,000 on something game related. I could even see him spending $1,000. I just think, I don't care what you're saying. Maybe long-term, $1,000 long-term, like WoW users or something. $15,000, I'd have a toy car in my garage or something. First of all, I'd be dead because the wife would murder me. $15,000 on a game.
Well, we're let's face it. We can already go with the safe assumption that whoever spends $15,000 on microtransactions for a game, online or not, ain't getting any. They are definitely damn well single. They
hookers.
Are
hookers. I mean, like, seriously.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. You could get a lot of hookers for that.
Good ones.
You're saying you don't doubt it, but how much do people spend on that fucking pipe dream of Star Citizen?
I can't even understand that. They're looking at some of these ships, and I saw a few for a couple hundred. I'm like, for a game that's not even out, like, I don't know.
That game's made, what, 9 figures, and it's really not technically released.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
I blame Europeans. They're the ones spending all the pounds.
We are a nickel and dime you to death society when it comes to gaming. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, we talk about how we can make a stand on Battlefront 2. We're not gonna.
I am.
I mean, we're not gonna get the message to EA because there's gonna be people that buy the shit out of it.
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, there's one thing for, like, if you're buying the microtransactions, you spend $20, $60, whatever. $15,000 worth of microtransactions from one single person. I don't know. Someone needs help. They need therapy.
I'm interested to know that if it's just is it also like that in Europe, or is that just Americans being dumb?
What, spending that much money? I don't know.
Microtransactions.
No one I know personally. Everyone I know just, you know, at most they'll say they'll spend money on stuff when they really want to support the developer, but that tends to be, you know, like the smaller kind of companies like Rocket League and stuff. I think I bought like one or two of those DLC because it was a couple of quid. They were pretty smaller at the time, and I really enjoyed the game. I put loads of time into it, so I was happy to buy something that I didn't, you know, I think it was like a couple of extra cars. It didn't really make any difference, but I liked the idea of supporting them. But generally, I don't care for anything related to microtransactions. It's so easy to just be like, nope, never going to pay for them, never going to care. You know, if it's DLC, yeah. If it's content, maybe. If it's anything like microtransaction, anything cosmetic, I'm out. And I don't know anyone who says different. Not personally, anyway.
Jammer, now my currency conversion isn't correct. Yes. But is a quid like $15,000? I think so.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. I looked up the Harry Potter dictionary, And that's also a game you play on. Quid is a game you play on brooms.
Oh, okay.
So he flew a broom over for the transaction.
Nice.
Yes. That's at least in the GRG dictionary.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, well, I was going to say this when you started talking about this. I'm just going to ignore all of your weird, weird American jokes. Because I was listening to, I'm sure you have. I was listening to a podcast the other day from someone else. And they were talking about, so their advice was if a game comes out, let's say they come out with a microtransaction model you really don't like, be it Forza or Star Wars Battlefront 2 or, you know, that NBA title, whatever it was, anything like that. Do you think you send more of a message to the publisher or the developer or whoever, I guess the publisher more than anyone maybe, but by not buying the game or by buying the game but not purchasing any of the microtransactions whatsoever? Because my thought is that if you don't buy the game, they're going to notice, and obviously not just one person, but if enough of you don't buy the game because you don't like the model, then they're going to see a drop in sales and they're going to be like, shit, we need to change things. Whereas if you buy it and like 5% of people spend money on microtransactions, then they look at it and be like, well, you know, sales are still up. That's great. And an extra 5% of people spend some money on microtransactions. Hooray, we got a little bit of extra money. Maybe we need to tweak it and try and get a few more people. But ultimately, we just got more money. So why would we change it hugely? Why would we get rid of them?
Yeah, you're better off not buying the game, because then what happens is you're playing Black Desert Online. Grex is a Kahura, and he sees a pair of really sparkly underwear for her, and the temptation's there then to buy it.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. Mm-hmm. No, you got to lay off. I mean, I don't think you send any message to the developer by just buying the game and not getting the microtransactions. I think you just have to just say no, so to speak. You have to stay the hell away from it altogether, because I think that's the only way you, and even then I don't know how much of an effect it has, because then they just say, oh well, this property just doesn't sell, so we'll just tack microtransactions on this other property and try that. You know, I don't know how aware marketing departments really are.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, to backtrack just slightly, Jammer, you put up here earlier today that Wolfenstein only went for single player to better focus on that instead of diluting with multiplayer. So we have the other end of that spectrum.
Yeah, which that's a rarity now. It's like, you know, they specifically said the multiplayer would have just hurt what they were doing with their single player story. So that's very encouraging to see a game come through that that wants to focus on story and gameplay just for a single player experience. Because most of them are pushing more towards the multiplayer side because they know that they are, you know, that they can maximize more out of multiplayer, because they can sell more maps and the DLC and potentially microtransactions and all that. And John, why don't we talk about this just longer?
See, with Wolfenstein, like, not every game requires multiplayer. It's just, I think for a while people are putting multiplayer games out or tacking it on, and the multiplayer was just boring. It just sucked. There was just no purpose of it. The game is a single player game. Just let it be.
Especially shooters.
Yeah, I mean, certain ones, they're just not meant to be that, and just let it be. It's okay. Not everything needs multiplayer.
Yeah, BioShock went through that. When BioShock 2, they kind of forced on multiplayer at the last second. That's when you had to have multiplayer as well as single player.
But that's been this gen. This whole generation's been, you got to tack on multiplayer no matter what. Doom has multiplayer. You know, Doom wasn't built on multiplayer. Multiplayer didn't even exist when Doom came out. So, you know, of course, new version of Doom, let's basically take Halo's multiplayer and tack it on in a hellscape setting, which is all it was. So, I mean, it's just interesting to see a dev that actually decided, no, we're not going to succumb to the whole idea of throwing shoehorning multiplayer into the game. So it's just interesting to see how we're seeing a real shift in the industry and seeing how everybody's taking it on right now. So probably shake out in the next year or two even further. But Battlefront single player campaign, we talked about this. We talked about the multiplayer with all the transactions and stuff. Now we find out single player campaign about 5 to 7 hours, which seems to be the trend. And
typically it's like 10 to 12.
I don't know. The last few games with multiplayer and single player, it seems to me like they've tacked on, you know, about 5, 6, 7 hours of campaign.
That hurts it to me. I mean, I'm still worried about the commercial with the single player that I saw was pretty cool, you know, with the Emperor being dead and all that stuff. But 5 to 7 hours, I mean, that's it's not that long.
No, it's really not.
$60 title, you know.
Honestly, it's a Battlefield title, Battlefront title. It's nice that it has a single player campaign. I hope it's good, but 5 hours, I'm okay with that. I mean,
if it's a compelling Star Wars story,
five hours
is going to be really short.
You're buying this game, this title. You're buying it. It's made for multiplayer. This game is the opposite of the last one. It's designed for multiplayer. It's designed for those big space battles. I mean, if you want a single player Star Wars campaign, I think that'd be a different game. I think this, they tacked it on. It'll be nice. It'll be enjoyable. 5 hours, and you'll be wanting to go shoot people in the face.
A different game that they never make anymore.
Well, I can't help you there. I just think that this, you're looking at it like this game, it's designed solely for multiplayer. I mean, that's 95% of what it's going to be and where people are going to spend their time in. Like, I would buy this game. I probably would never play single player. But that's me.
That, you don't play many single player games, though.
No, I play the multiplayer, and that's why I would buy this game.
Because you're so engaging and social and liking to be with people.
I am a social butterfly.
Yes.
And people like me.
And he wants to buy microtransactions.
No.
Well, he does. No, that's not true with you. You do.
Oh, I do. Yeah, that's true. I do.
How much money did you pump into Guild Wars?
Probably quite a bit. I probably was close to almost a subscription. It was probably like $10 a month, give or take. I mean, you know, whatever. You spanned it out. I mean, you start a new character. You want to buy new bank space, new this, new that, new armor, new shinies. Yeah. But I didn't have a problem with it. I was enjoying the game, so that was good.
All right. Well, and one last little bit of news. We're not going to get into spoiler territory on this one because we know a lot of people have not seen the episode yet, including one who is on the panel tonight. The Walking Dead's season 8 premiere came out Sunday. Some mixed reactions. I also noticed the news item came across today that it is the lowest premiere rating since season 3. If I remember
after
right.
After all the farm bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. So the lowest premiere rating since season 3. Well under season 7's. I'm going to leave it at, I am not, you know, I still felt the dragginess, and I'm going to leave it kind of at that without getting into spoiler territory. Yeah. I still felt they're still going to drag this goddamn season out like they have the last two.
Well, I'm not going to let Jack speak because he wants to make a point, which is why we're even just talking about this. But John, earlier in the week had the perfect thing to me. Once it went from like 10 to 12 episodes to 16, it just totally fucked everything. Because now they have all, that's what's great about Game of Thrones. Well, now it's even shorter, but it was 10 episodes. So the shit moved. And they just drag all the shit out now.
As I said, to just make a quick point on that, as I said back when they made this decision, we had this in a show back when they made this decision, that to go away from Unobtainables, the British model of 12 to 13 episodes was a big mistake for this show. That is what works for cable. It works because it's the, you know, people like the British model. You know, Doctor Who runs what, 10 episodes? Half, you know, a bunch of those British series run about 12 to 13, and they tell concise stories. That's what cable was doing. And now AMC has completely fucked it up.
You sound angry. You're taking your frustrations out of on life out on this. I like The Walking Dead. I enjoyed the episode. There's a couple moments where you're just like, it was annoying because it just didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they could resolve stuff easily. And actually, there will be no season at the one scene. But the one thing I wanted to point out was the beginning of the episode was filled with Easter eggs from the very first Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Like when they're walking through. It's beginning. It's the direction that like Rick looks when he wakes up. It's the stop clock. Carl looking under the car is the same as when Rick was looking under the car from the first episode. And even to the point where Carl comes across and sees like this woman zombie. And what was interesting about that is it's the same actor that played the little girl zombie in the first episode. The girl with the little teddy bear that was walking with the face ripped open.
Yep.
Because when I saw the woman, I'm like, you can see the face ripped. I'm like, that looks almost exactly like the zombie. And so I went and looked at the next day, and here it turns out to be the same actor, which I thought was kind of neat. So it was kind of neat to see them throw that little Easter egg in, reference back to episode one. And that was basically my point for this.
I will always have a problem, and not even getting specifics, because this has been the MO of it. They can one shot a zombie in the head anytime. They can blow up propane tanks. They can snipe from far away. But once they go to shoot another human, they just become stormtroopers, and they all of a sudden they can fire tons of ammo and not hit a goddamn person.
Which really is a spoiler territory, because it's been that way for what, 3 seasons now?
That it's been that way.
So, I mean, and we'll probably get into this more in upcoming shows as we get farther into the season. But, you know, since we're about recording this 2 days out from the premiere, we're going to lay off the spoilers anyway. So stay tuned in the coming weeks. We'll have more to bitch about probably. But
definitely. I like the show. I won't bitch about it. I like it.
I like the show. I'm not trying to say I don't like the show. I just think there's some things that they are doing that sabotages their own efforts, so to speak, because they can't get out of their own way as far as writing and production.
It's a zombie show. It's all right. I even like Fear of the Walking Dead. So
I haven't watched that since first season, but that was because I wanted the zombies to eat everybody. So
yeah, I've had seasons now where I'm just watching it because I've watched it from the beginning. It's not like early on when it was like, oh cool, it's Sunday night, Walking Dead's on. Now I'm like, all right, I guess I'll watch it. It's not the same to me. Some people have to make a tough choice between a WWE pay-per-view event and Walking Dead, and they choose Walking Dead. So that's saying something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's another story. Okay. That pay-per-view was anyway. All right. Let's get this semi-segues over because it is sci-fi. We're going to talk about we've talked about Discovery, Star Trek Discovery. We've talked about The Walking Dead. Now we're going to talk about sci-fi in general and how we prefer sci-fi from, you know, the different, you know, we're all in the similar age range, but we have different backgrounds, we have different likes and dislikes. So, you know, we're going to be talking about what things in science fiction do we prefer as far as how they produce it, how they present it. So the first one, and this seems to be kind of the wider disparity, do you prefer the optimistic style of sci-fi, you know, old Star Trek, the Orville, or more of the dark and dystopian style of sci-fi, you know, the darker aspects, the darker shows?
I hedge a bit on this one because I like both. I do find a growing trend of, and Discovery is not this way, but a growing trend of like Mad Max type land in the future. Terminator, it's always shit got really bad and people have kind of fallen back into being very brutal. You know, they're like Battlestar Galactica, that type of stuff. I really like the darkness of it. Star Trek, I'd rather it be hopeful just because that's what it's been based on for, you know, 50 years, unlike Discovery. I think there's an avenue for both out there. I just, when I watch sci-fi and what's available out there, and right now it's kind of good this way because Discovery's kind of war effort and Orville's more optimistic. It's nice to have both. So you can get a little bit of both out of it.
I would say when it comes to the dark and dystopian style society based, the only complaint I really have about it is that a lot of the shows just feel Me Too. Like you said, they all seem to fall back on Mad Max type territory with these. You know, it's not as much, you know, hey, the future has a whole lot of stuff, but nobody, you know, people still have a lot of issues type of dark or dystopian. It's more the base worst aspects of people type of thing. And when those shows get a little too much Me Too, you know, too copycat, that bothers me. But like you said.
I'm sorry, because we got to let the other guys in, but The Expanse is a good one in a sense because it gives you both.
Right.
It gives you a little bit of that type of world, like with the Belters and stuff. But there's actually some optimism on, you see some nice things too in the future. It has both in it. I think that's what's really appealing on that show.
Where is the optimism in The Expanse?
Yeah, I know.
No, if you're just Joe Schmo living on Earth or whatever, and not involved in the UN or anything. Or,
so it's nice for the rich in the car system.
No, where you're living. But I see optimism in that there is a future. They've expanded. They've moved on to Mars. Yes, there are social issues going on, but but they've expanded. We've moved on from just
society
Earth.
Has progressed in no way.
I think I see what you mean there. I think I see what you mean there because not everybody has gone to that base barbaric aspect. Where some of these shows, yeah, everybody and their dog is just, you know, sitting around with clubs, ugh, type of shit, you know.
Like Fallout.
Yeah. So, I get where you're coming from on that. But, Jack, what do you think?
I don't have a preference here. As long as the story's good, or even if it's not that good. I mean, I'm pretty tolerant with sci-fi. I like B-movie sci-fi movies as well, so I'll give it a lot of leeway. When you look at like stuff like Aliens is one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all times. And I mean, it's set in just a modern space environment, you know, it's not anything. So, but then you like shows like Terminator, movies like Terminator. I'll go either way. I don't care. As long as the story is decent. Like I like Discovery. It's enjoyable to me. There's some issues along with the plot and some of the decisions the characters make. But I think that they're trying to copy. I think Game of Thrones had a huge influence with sci-fi shows lately, or just any show like sci-fi fantasy, where they realize they can tap into the adult market, make it adult themed. So that's why you're seeing Discovery the way it is, because they're trying to kind of like latch on to what Game of Thrones created.
Discovery is more Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
The remake of Battlestar.
But it's just, it's not going to be a cheerful, hopeful Picard Star Trek. And I think that that was probably an influence for it.
Now, I will say in the older tracks, there are sometimes I wish there was a little bit more grit. There was with the Borg in a few episodes here and there. But sometimes I wish there was a little bit more conflict than it getting solved all the time at peace.
I agree. And I, you know, I'm also of the mindset that I'm glad that there's both. You know, I like having that choice. I like having where there are ones that are, you know, more hopeful and more, you know, ones that are dystopian. I mean, they're both enjoyable when written well. So next point here, I have it listed as realistic and then in parentheses, achievable in the near future. So like short-term achievable accomplishment, you know, futuristic stuff versus the more speculative, wild out there, spaceships, first contact, all that stuff. What is your preference there?
I just think it's hard for the people to think, you know, to realize what's going to be actual in 50 years. So you look at like Star Trek, the original series, and you know, that's what they perceive the future spaceships to be. Now you should have a show like Expanse, which I think is probably a little bit more realistic of what will be like in the future. I think that's what you should expect, I guess, going forward. But it doesn't, like I said, it really matters on the story. You look at a show like movies like Star Wars, or Doctor Who or something like that, where there's also like mystical stuff involved, magical stuff. I mean, you have Star Wars with the Force. You know, the guy can lift things up and do all that fancy stuff with the lightsabers. Man, it's as sci-fi as it comes, but I mean, it's not based on anything realistic or speculative. I mean, it's sci-fi fantasy. So I really kind of, I'm hedging. I want to hedge the whole night with pulling Johnny the entire night.
I think the questions I had brought up for us to ask were way better than whatever Johnny typed up in this freaking agenda.
But why the hell didn't anybody edit it?
I was busy.
I had a bowl.
I put it. Anyway, realistic's kind of a tough one because what's achievable in the near future? Lost in Space, which was, you know, in the 60s, the Robinson family launched in 1997. So they thought that was realistic that the Robinsons would be able to do that. So, I don't know how you know what you would deem realistic and achievable. A lot of this is unobtainable. Well, what I did there, huh?
That's weak. I pretty much agree with Jack on this. I'm happy to give things that are broadly sci-fi a lot of leeway, because I think on the one hand, I just really enjoy the genre. I'm happy to give them a chance, like no matter what the premise sounds like. Sometimes it can sound weak, but actually end up being pretty good in the character development and the script, even if not necessarily the plot, at least to begin with. But as long as it's not too cliched, as long as it doesn't fall back on too many tropes, because I think one of the greatest things about sci-fi is there's so much latitude. Like, you know, science fiction, you know, like you said, come up with the Force, come up with some new technology. It doesn't need to be really that feasible, not necessarily, you know, as long as it's somewhat logical, or even if you just can establish some ground rules around it that it then fits within and that maintains them, then you can get people on board and it can build from there. And, you know, there's just so much choice. There's so much they can do. So as long as they don't fall back on too similar to things that have been done before, or any of the other more classic, like I say, tropes or cliches just in the general plot or the character development or script or whatever, then, you know, they can almost go anywhere and do anything. They're not bound by, you know, everything from physics to technology to even, you know, current species that are in the known universe. They can do whatever they want. So I think it can be really interesting. They can make some great stuff, and they can make some great plots I'm happy to. It doesn't matter if it's realistic or speculative or optimistic or dark to me, although you know, some of the optimistic stuff can be a bit dull in some ways, because I don't always think that that's necessarily reflective.
Well, Star Trek optimism, you know, with no money and they just try and achieve, you know, to better themselves and all that, that's a little far-fetched. You know, the Picard type of thing where they're not, that's all, they just want to explore and, you know, they're not there for financial gain and all that. That one's a little too optimistic for me with that type of stuff. The one thing that drives me crazy with sci-fi is when you get the hardcore sci-fi nerd that, you know, has some explanation for the magic or whatever. And, well, this propulsion system shouldn't be able to do this because of this and that. And it's like, dude, it's made up. You know, it doesn't really exist. There's no warp drive ship up there right now ready to fly away. So that part sometimes can be difficult.
This split in philosophies is probably my oddest split here. When it comes to what's on TV and in movies, I actually prefer the more fantastic elements, the fantasy elements, you know, the more outlandish, the you know, as long, like Unobtainable said, if you establish your ground rules and your logic around it, then go wild. You know, I mean, the more fantastic, the better for me. When it comes to books, I like the things that seem a little more grounded in what could be possible in the near future type of thing. Like, the, you know, more of space exploration within our galaxy, you know, like a Mission to Mars type of thing or something like that, you know, first Mission to Mars. Yeah, The Martian. The Ben Bova books are books I really love, because he does more of his scientific research and then kind of extrapolates a little bit from there what would be possible in the next 50 years or so, or what could be possible in the next 50 years, and goes from there. So I like that more in my reading, the more logical elements.
And the beauty with Johnny with reading is that you can just go out into a cornfield and nobody can fucking find you for 3 hours, and you have all that time to read.
They're all down. They've all been mowed over. It's harvest. They're gone.
Well, it's time for Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The Georgian trucks are moving in. Georgia trucks.
Christ. Anyway.
I mean, when you're sitting in the cornfield, though, and, like, once the stalks are high, I mean, do you have to bring, like, a book light? Is it kind of dark even though the sun's up?
It doesn't get that dark.
I don't know. I don't go sit in the middle of a cornfield and read a book.
Jesus Christ. Anyway. All right. So the last one I had on the list here, and if anybody has anything else they want to throw in, go ahead. Do you prefer looks at other civilizations, you know, like way out there, different galaxies types of things, different time period, you know, like Doctor Who goes to different planets and galaxies and whatever? Or do you prefer more of a futuristic look at our solar system or our planet?
You notice there's not really, occasionally with their sci-fi, there's not really things that are grounded that are just like Earth, like 1,000 years from now, and it's just on Earth. You ever think about that? Like, there's not really stories that way.
I think most it's more them, in literature.
Most of them are
I think
like sports.
I think that more in books than you do.
Yeah.
In movies and stuff, no, not really.
I said sports, but more it's because I'm fucking tired. Thanks, Johnny. More of it is, you know, based off of space travel and being able to go to it. There's not really much in terms of just being on the planet Earth.
Well, I mean,
in the future.
You could say like The Expanse is. I mean, even though it's they're in a galaxy, you know, that they're rooted in our galaxy. But I think, you know, the whole allure of, you know, sci-fi is the spaceships. I mean, you have stuff like Blade Runner, which is on Earth, but the majority of it, you know, you're gonna want to be in a spaceship, a battle cruiser, or some nonsense like that, flying around. That's the whole point of sci-fi.
There you go.
That was quick.
Well, I just wanted to be there because I'm tired. I think the allure of wondering if there's something else out there is more of a draw for people. And you look up in the sky and there's this massive amount of space there that we can even just see, knowing there's other galaxies and everything. And so I think to a lot of people that are fans of it, it's the allure that there are other species out there.
What about Planet of the Apes?
No, see, that's...
By the way, I just watched War of the Planet of the Apes, and that movie can go fuck off as well. Terrible.
That got good reviews.
Oh my God, it was so dreadful. It was so dreadful. Two thumbs down. Lala, two thumbs down.
But yeah, Planet of the Apes is
your
another
thumbs
one
must
that's...
get tired being down.
Oh my God, it was so bad. I want those 2 hours back.
You know, now I'm looking it up. Somebody talk.
Well, that is a good example.
I got research to do now.
It was awful.
That's a good example of one that is on this planet, but it's, you know, it is quite out there, very dystopian. You know, I mean, we got apes that have just basically taken over and surpassed human intelligence, but you know, still based on Earth. But yeah, I think I lean more towards the other civilizations aspect, you know, other planets, unless it's a case of, you know, aliens coming to blow the shit out of our planet type of stuff. But that's still, that's still a more fantastic element, and, you know, more of a, you, you get a look at other civil, you know, their civilization as well, if it's done well.
Independence Day was a great popcorn movie.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Independence Day was great because it mixed in current conditions, like they're going up and trying to shoot at things that have shields, you know, with sci-fi. That was a good mix. Then there's good things out there now, like, you know, Stranger Things has season two coming out too soon. And that's...
Wouldn't that be like more horror?
I don't know if I would say that's... I mean, it's not space.
I would throw it in the horror.
Sci-fi thriller?
You know, psychological sci-fi thriller, horror thriller. Maybe if the,
yeah,
if you
I'd
have
to...
it's
a horror thriller.
It's got so many elements of everything that... That, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, the whole thing happened due to a scientific experiment gone way wrong. And
Half-Life 3.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's got.
I get important things.
You have important things. Yes, sir.
Tomato meter. The real Rotten Tomatoes, not the La tomato meter. War for the Planet of the Apes, 93%.
That's one with Woody Harrelson?
Yes. Certified awful. Fresh. 93%.
Awful.
IMDb gave it a 7.6 as well.
Tolerate that movie. It was so bad.
Audience score 85%.
Terrible.
Oh, God, Lord. All right. Sorry, John. I had to, you know, put that in there.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. I just, wow.
I can't even imagine that that's a proper number. It was so bad.
Yeah, it is. It's 93% with an 85% audience score. That's a fairly close.
I'd rather watch a comic book movie.
Although the average rating, the average rating, which is underneath the 93%, the average rating is an 8.1 out of 10. That's still pretty damn good.
Not on the tomato meter. He's got like a 2. No.
That'd be a different meter.
Well, it definitely gave it a green rotten tomato. That's for damn sure. But well. There's a few critics that gave it that, too, so there's a couple of splats.
We can debate that topic in the forums. I'll gladly argue that.
Well, I didn't
explain to you why I hated that movie.
You do align with 19 critics on that.
There you go.
So, anyway, all right. So, you know, sci-fi is, I mean, I don't think we ever expected a consensus out of this topic. I think it was just more to provide varying points of view. So, because sci-fi covers so many things that you're not going to really get a consensus in that respect, especially with how it was broken down, but which Jammer didn't like.
I don't like anything, though.
I know. You're worse than Jack. But yeah. Even grumpier. All right. Well, thanks, guys. So let's wrap this up, take it home with some last minute clan hype. I want to welcome new members of the clan. We've had... some new people that have joined in, you know, some people with Destiny. What the hell are you laughing at me for now?
I sent you a message. I had
the owner of the site wants a fucking question asked.
The hell?
John, before you finish out as your co-host, I'm just wondering,
anything.
You know, what's everybody's favorite sci-fi movie or show?
Barring Star Wars. Yeah. Not allowed, since that's obviously the number one correct answer.
Well, it wouldn't be. It would be Empire. But go ahead.
Well, it wouldn't be no Empire without Star Wars, so... But anyway, moving on.
No, go ahead. I'm asking you. Yes,
okay. So my favorite, barring Star Wars A New Hope, which is obviously the best sci-fi movie ever made, and Aliens, as I said before, would be Battlestar Galactica, the remake, which surprised me, because I'm not one for reboots or remakes, but that was phenomenal. The first three seasons, the last... Season 4 can go piss off. That was horrible. That was trash. But three seasons... That was the best quality TV show ever. I mean, I know Firefly is up there, but Battlestar Galactica, season 1 through 3.
So you're wrong, because it sucked later on down the road. So that answer is incorrect. Unobtained, do you have anything there?
Oh, man, I didn't know you were just going to throw this at me.
No, none of us did. And so the son of a bitch that yells at us to be prepared and have shit on the agenda is the one that throws out a question at the last second. I'm not naming names or anything.
I'm still trying to see where this message was.
Have faith. Aliens would be up there for me. I don't think I have an answer right off the top of my head. You know, Aliens is up there. I love the story of The Expanse. Battlestar really kind of sucked towards the end a little bit. Oh, I'll tell you what mine is, and it's kind of lame, actually, and it's old, would be the V miniseries.
Oh, excellent.
V would be my answer. I will still watch choice. That now, even though the graphics are shitty. And I was very disappointed when they rebooted it, and they finally figured out how to make the show good, and they ended it. They just got rid of it. So V is my answer.
Well, Jammer, I think you just took mine. I think you took mine because that was the one that was in the back of my mind as well. That, I mean, I loved that damn miniseries.
I own it. I watch V.
Yeah, I got them too. I love them. I still watch them. I mean, as cheesy as the lizard baby is, and oh my God, every viewing, two things gets cheesier to me every time I view it. When Diana unhooks her jaw to eat the rat for the first time.
Yeah.
That is just such too. That is such an awful CGI. I have to pause. I start laughing so damn hard at it. Yeah. But I think when I was a kid, I watched it in horror, and I don't know if it was because the graphic was so bad or because the image. I don't know. But and then the lizard baby,
was
just so damn cheesy. That's just. But other than that, I loved that damn those two miniseries. They were just so fucking good.
Yeah. is definitely my winner. I'm glad it came to me. Let's see if anything came to people across the pond, or because it's 4 a.m. if he can't think of anything. You got anyone? Anything?
I'm just looking through trying to find inspiration. I mean, you know, Gotham, Westworld, all the series of Doctor Who, the first 4 seasons of Lost, The Expanse. You already mentioned Battlestar Galactica and something else. Loads that I've loved, loads that I've gone back to and rewatched.
It doesn't matter at this point anyway, because the correct answer was V. So go ahead, John.
I will give also honorable mention to Doctor Who and Star Trek The Next Generation as two of my other favorites beyond the Star Wars realm. So those are two I absolutely loved. Okay. So back to welcoming members of the clan. Welcome, enjoy. We got some people that came on with Destiny, and we're going to get even more as we are 10 days away from Call of Duty. So I want to talk real quick, speaking of that time frame, Extra Life is on November 4th. Although donations could still happen until around the end of the year, we do have some people raising funds. Check out the forums at forums.grimreapergamers.com for information and for links to donate. And I want to thank the people who have donated already. Thank you guys very much. It's going to a great cause. 100% of funds go to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Next show is recorded on the 7th of November. We'll probably be talking Call of Duty. I'd say that's a safe bet. Facebook page, facebook.com/GrimReaperGamers. And Jammer, hit me with the Twitter.
It's grgamers.com. Spell out the dot, D-O-T.
And don't forget, we have an email. Questions, comments, just want to tell Jammer how much you love his sunny attitude. Reapercast@GrimReaperGamers.com. So, don't forget, check us out on, you know, we have ourselves on YouTube, Google Play, iTunes, anywhere that great podcasts are listened to. So, guys, thank you very much for being on tonight. Really appreciate it. Kind of fun talking about some sci-fi for once instead of just gaming. So, for our friend from over in the UK, Unobtainables, for Lala Calamari and for Jammer, this is Johnny Hustler signing off, saying take care, stay safe, and never game alone.